There's a thousand murdered women living out there. They're all living for the devil they care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. This is the Katz Report on the radio. I am John Katzalamidis, your host and MC. I write the Katz Report for the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly. What is the latest from the column? You might be asking yourselves. Well, lots of changes in our entertainment landscape over the past several days. Raiding the Rock Vault is closing at Tropicana Theater effective July 31st. The show opened at Las Vegas Hilton in March of 2013 and is said to be seeking a new home. We'll see what happens there. Also closing, a shocker here, Steve Wynn's Showstoppers, which has set a closing date of September 30th at Wynn Las Vegas. The show was a salute to such great Broadway numbers as one from A Chorus Line, Razzle Dazzle from Chicago, and Cabaret from the musical of the same name. And from Caesar's Palace, the future of the stage show Absinthe was thrown into uncertainty by an announcement from the show's producers that the production will be seeking a new home and moving out of the Roman Plaza and out of its famous tent on October 21st. We'll see what happens there. Recent openings, it's not all closings, Baz at Palazzo Theater, Clint Holmes at Palazzo Theater, and Puppet Up at Sand Showroom, also at the Venetian. For all of that and more, much, much more, in the Katz Report on the LasVegasSun.com and LasVegasWeekly.com websites. Now, joining me this week is the star of Absinthe. She plays the Green Fairy in the show and is starring in another of her wildly entertaining solo productions. The show is called Jungle Burlesque, The Call of the Wild. It is set for midnight, July 30th. After the two Absinthe shows that night, she is Melody Sweets, and she is the top guest we've had on the show in terms of frequency.
All right.
You've been on more than everybody.
I have a lot to say.
No. We're gonna do like the telethon, like the or the roasts. We're gonna do a greatest Katz Report.
Oh no.
It'll be on late night TV and we're gonna be like, you know, selling these later and you'll be on it all the time. But I think you and Clint Holmes have toggled.
Ooh. Yeah, I think it's on
five
Clint.
To four or six to five.
Bring
I'll look it
on.
Up. I know, and he's, yeah, we're going to have him on again too. Yeah, so it'll be a close throughout the course of history, I promise you that. Now, Melody Sweets.
Yes, sir.
We will tell people that this show, the Jungle Show,
yes,
and this radio show, were all set up before recent events that happened in Absinthe.
That is true.
This is an incidental, coincidental timing. So we'll know that. And also, I know you can't say too much about what has happened in your show.
You are an intelligent man.
I know that. And we aren't going to spend a whole lot of time proving that you can't talk about it. But I do want to ask you about your future in Las Vegas, generally speaking. Anytime there's a distraction in a show for a performer, there has to be a way for you to maintain focus. How are you maintaining focus right now as a performer in your show?
That was many questions you just asked me, but
let's answer the last.
The one was, you know, nobody really knows the future anyway, Johnny Katz. But what we do know is on Saturday night, July 30th at midnight in the Absinthe Vegas tent, there is going to be an awesome show called Call of the Wild Jungle Burlesque. Are you going to go?
Yeah, I've got I'm set up with the people from Siegfried and Roy.
Oh, good.
Which is the
right
beneficiary of this.
Yes.
Is everything going okay at the tent?
Yes, thank you for asking. I'm looking forward to it.
Has it been tough for you to keep your eye on the ball?
Never.
With all of my coverage?
I'm a very focused individual.
Very good. One thing I will mention about you, and I know you can't talk about this either, but your individual contract is up. It does come up in November, and I know that to be the case.
Who is this guy?
And I need to know, one thing I want to ask you about on top of that is you're recording, right? You're recording a solo album these
I
days.
Am, yeah. Yes.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because
good.
I did just a moment ago, and this plays into you away from Absinthe. Oh. I just, while we were sitting here, got a text from our friend Lon Bronson.
Oh, wonderful.
Who you're working with.
Yes.
Quince, I swear to God, yeah, that just happened. So tell us about your solo, your album, and how that is progressing.
Well, Lon and I are going to go into the studio, 11th Street Records downtown, and we are going to cut a cover of Alice Cooper's Is That My Body? Is It My Body?
Why that studio and why that song?
I like that studio because it's downtown. It's got some grit to it. It's got some really good sounds, old school sounds that I am looking forward to playing around with. And I guess that's the reason why.
Yeah, and Lon.
And Lon, because he's phenomenal, and I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to working with him.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to take a quick break here at the top, and we're going to introduce a couple more guests who are going to be joining you in the production show at the Spiegel Tent, which is July 30th. So we'll be back momentarily with Melody Sweet, so stick around. I know we will. Welcome back. This is the Katz Report on the radio. John Katzlamitis here this week, joined by the great Melody Sweets, the green fairy of the absinthe, which we hope is going to last for the rest of eternity at Caesar's Palace. Joining us after the break here is Mr. and Mrs. G, who are going to be taking part in your show.
Yes.
Welcome, Octavio and
thank
Naomi.
Thank you.
Now, we go by Mr. and Mrs. G.
Yes.
On stage.
On stage.
Last names being?
Gizmundo.
And Brinkman, but Gizmundo as well.
Okay, and you're really married.
After 14 years of marriage, I think I can say that.
Yes. Okay, you can say that. Hey, you can say it after no years. Anyway, we got to know you guys. I got to know you guys when Melody was doing her shoot 'em up video.
Yeah,
over at the Grand Canyon Ranch.
Yeah.
That was a great deal of fun.
And that was.
Not entirely safe. I remember distinctly about this when you guys were doing your act, stand next to you.
Right. Down range. No.
Yeah, it's a little windy. Anyway, tell us, Melody, maybe you can get us into this, how these guys became involved in your production and why they are.
Well, because they're fabulous. And I met them a while ago on another tour, and we just became really close. But they, of course, blow me away with what they do on a regular basis. And I think I've said this to you guys before. I think that's why you're still married, because they get to shoot bow and arrow. They get to shoot arrows at each other. I think I would last a long time if I was able to take out my aggression by shooting arrows.
I think the idea is to hit the apple.
Right, the spouse. Yeah,
that's but just correct. The action, I'm sure, is like, yes,
it's
here we go.
Just enough.
Yes.
To hit just enough.
So, you know, I have a huge respect for them as people, as artists, and I'm looking forward to seeing them shoot arrows in the tent
in the jungle the jungle environment. How did you get involved in this particular medium, Octavio?
I come from six generations of circus performers, and my sister actually had been performing a crossbow act for a number of years. And when we finished our dancing and singing careers, she wanted to train us in the art of crossbow marksmanship, and Naomi was all about it. You know, so we said, well, let's go see how we shoot. And she was really good, and I was pretty good too, so to say. And then we started training, and then we started incorporating into a unique way of integrating stunts and dance with the crossbow marksmanship.
Mm-hmm. Is marksmanship something that's inherent when you come from that long of a line of performers? Is that something you're born with?
You know what? I wonder that myself. You know, how much talent is inherited and how much is it just hard earned? And so there was definitely a year of shooting and just really honing in on our craft. But it was pretty early on. My sister had us holding targets within that first day.
There's got to be some error in this trial and error.
Oh, absolutely. There's always a little bit of error, but you know, thankfully, nothing fatal.
Good. Okay, that was nice.
Yeah, these piercings on my ear are completely naturally done.
You have all your fingers.
I have all my fingers. Yes, exactly.
Your ears,
we have all our part.
See.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, you shoot also, Naomi.
Yes, I do. How's that?
Yeah,
that's great. It keeps it equal, right?
Yeah,
we're
even
equal
and equal. Yeah,
okay,
equal
you
partners.
Both have balanced.
Exactly,
roles.
It's literally tit for tat when we do the shooting.
Yeah, I was just gonna say she shoots the arrow somewhere where maybe you wouldn't necessarily want an arrow.
To land.
Not that you want one to land anywhere.
You wouldn't want it to stray there.
Did you ever see the Ed Ames on The Tonight Show? Do you remember that? When he threw the hatchet and hit or Johnny Carson. No, he threw the hatchet and hit the model in the groin.
Not good.
He was like, it was the only mistake he ever made was like on that show. Yeah.
Right.
So it can happen, I guess.
Yeah.
But you guys were just out of town. You just got back from some kind of whoop-de-doo thing.
Yeah, we were just in New York, New York City, and we were performing at a venue there, and it was just coincided with the release of my book, which was my grandfather's memoirs called The Grand Gypsy. And he really had a remarkable life, traveling the world. He witnessed a rally from Mahatma Gandhi in the 30s. He was performing in the Krona Circus in the 20s, and when Adolf Hitler was delivering speeches at the Krona Circus at the same time, and he appeared on the Ed Sullivan twice in the 1960s.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Sullivan was the hotbed for those kind of acts.
He really was. And then he performed at the Circus, and he was there for a long time, and his last performance was at Circus with his chimpanzee act, which was on Ed Sullivan.
Right. You guys have a strip history, deep, rich strip history. Right?
Well, I've performed on so many shows here in Las Vegas, so from the Lido from the 80s, the 80s on through, and EFX, and so we've done a number of shows here, and done Melody's another show that she had before,
the Wild West,
which was the launch of the
shoot 'em up
video. And that was so much fun. What a great show that was.
Crazy show.
Yeah, that really was wild.
Yeah, and we're going to be doing a different routine from what we did then. This is going to be quite spectacular.
All
this,
right.
one, this one, there's one particular shot.
She's just learning this.
I'm good with knowing that there's going to be arrows flying around
in all kinds of different directions.
You know?
So this there's one goodness. Particular shot that's going to be, I think.
Is there
going to
be fire involved in this?
No fire allowed.
I forget.
In the wooden tent.
Can't have fire.
Makes sense.
I know this. And there's never been fire in there either.
No.
Ever.
I think my grandfather would be actually proud of this show because he dealt with wild animals. He had, all kinds of wild animals, and which are some great stories in the book. If you can find it at thegrandgypsy.com. But you can also purchase it as an ebook or paperback at iTunes, or rather the iBook store, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo. So it's
you're going to be selling it at the show?
Maybe, if that's permitted.
We'll have to have a meeting.
We'll have to have a meeting afterwards and see about
that. I love the cover shot of your grandfather wrapped in snakes.
Yeah, and that 25-foot python actually attacked him on his opening day in Madison Square Garden in 1932.
Looks like it's attacking him on the cover.
It's pretty impressive, right? Yeah.
So, Melody, tell us about, we've got your bow and arrow artist covered here. Who else are we going to see in this show?
We have the amazing Liana Walenda from the Flying Walendas.
Legends everywhere.
Yes.
Show, right?
Oh, she's phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My family and
this
her family
show,
go back.
I'm not kidding.
Back.
These shows are the best bargain in town, these off shows that she does in there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Liana, and she is going to be doing a really amazing high wire number that... she may or may not be stripping on the wire.
Okay, she's
oh,
done that.
Baby.
She's done that previously.
Hey, watch it.
It's a 10-foot, the wire that's used in the act in Absinthe, right?
Yes, same
wire.
The high wires.
The 10-footer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We have comedian Scotty the Blue Bunny coming from Germany, and I don't really know what a bunny has to do with the jungle, but he's really funny, so I'm sure you're going to love him. I'm sure there's bunnies in the jungle.
Yeah, well, it's a food chain.
I thought Blue Bunny was an ice cream, but that's a whole different thing.
But he is hysterical, and I can't wait to introduce him to Las Vegas. We have Trixie Little, reigning queen of burlesque, Miss Exotic World.
Saw her win her championship year before last, right?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have Captain Kidd coming all the way from London, and he was Mr. Boylesque. He was king of burlesque, I think, in 2012.
Okay.
We have the beautiful Wasa. I have no idea how to say her last name. I love you. Koulibaly.
My hero.
Oh, she's so phenomenal.
Yes.
So I'm really excited to have her in this show. She's just stunning,
and
the way she moves.
Since we're plugging writing, she's part of a story that's in the current issue of The Sunday. Cover story I wrote about strip performers who've gone on to other things. She runs Baobab Stage over at Town Square, and that is her. That's the love of her life. She was in Zumanity for about 10 years, and a great artist, great
She's
person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then most recently we've added Lulu Deville.
Oh,
to the roster, yes.
She doesn't get enough publicity, does she? She needs to get out more. Her and the Baron. Is the Baron in this?
No.
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 He will be.
He will be, somehow. We'll get him in there.
You guys know the Baron? You must know
him. I've seen him. Yeah.
They're wonderful and really good friends of mine, and I'm really excited to have them in town.
They're triplets. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
They're all over the place. They multiply. They're like tribbles.
Uh-huh. And then we have a couple of other performers joining us. Miss Buttercup Delight, Jennifer Romas from The Sexy Show, and April Leopardi from Marie Sawchuk, Magic Magician Extraordinaire.
April's also in the Alice Steampunk Concert Fantasy Show, and she's in Sexy now.
Ooh, too, she gets around.
With Jennifer, yeah. That's the way you got to do it in Las Vegas. Right? You have like 9 shows because you don't know which one's going
to
crater
next.
I'm
excited to have her. And we have live music, of course, with Eric Plant from O and Stephen Lee from Donnie and Marie. Del Cheetah, he's a newcomer in the band. He's from Chris Angel and a longtime friend of mine.
Guitarist.
Bass player, going to be playing.
Which is a guitar still, right?
David Perico of Pop Strings, Evolution. And Pepe Hernandez and Gabriel Falcón. From Santa Fe.
Jimenez. Pepe is
in Bat City Horns.
Yeah, Pepe is in the Baz Band. And he was, toured and performed with Carlos Santana for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Serious lineup here. Yeah, Pepe is incredible. Yeah.
We just saw Santana. Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, his story is that he was playing with Santa Fe at the Palms Lounge, and the Santana players would go in and see the band, because Santa Fe's the best band probably in the West.
Yeah.
And they got rid of Dennis Chambers, the drummer in the Santana band, and Pepe had such a strong reputation with the musicians, they needed somebody to fill in the last few dates of their show at the House of Blues in 2012. They brought Pepe in without an audition and put him on stage. He did sound check and played that run and wound up in the band recording and touring for 2 years.
Amazing.
That's fantastic.
So he's in this tent show.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Thanks.
It's a lot of work, isn't it?
It's an immense amount of work. But every time I do it, I'm like, oh, what am I doing this to myself for? And then it happens, and I'm like, that's why, because it was amazing. And each one of them has been for a good cause. You know, this one is the proceeds go to the Sarmoti Foundation, which is Siegfried and Roy's foundation that works with endangered species around the world. And we're focusing on the big kitty cats, of course, this time around.
Siegfried and Roy, Masters of the Impossible, that's what that stands for. And it's all about the preservation of exotic animals, which touches everybody.
Yes, absolutely.
In the circus world.
Most definitely.
And that's very impressive to have them involved. What's that mean to you, to have Siegfried and Roy kind of endorsing this?
It's unbelievable. Really, I hope to raise as much money as I can for them. And what they're doing is, you know, there's nothing else like them. There's no one out there like them that can do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're lucky to have them in our lifetime.
Yeah, you mentioned Lido. That's where Siegfried and Roy
started. Yeah.
Yeah, as a side act in Lido.
Yeah, absolutely.
This doesn't happen anymore. This type of act doesn't ascend to superstardom from that position.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. Yeah, they were pretty remarkable. And then they had their own show at the Frontier for a while.
Frontier was the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then moved over to the Mirage. And then I remember when that opened, that was like state of the art. There was nothing like that anywhere in the world at that time.
It was interesting because I saw them near the end of their run. You know, but nobody knew it was near the end at the time. They did one of these things where they signed a lifetime contract with the hotel.
Yeah.
Which is the same contract they'd always had, but they just called it lifetime.
Yeah.
But we went in there and I was just struck by the whole presentation, the showmanship that they brought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was incredible.
Yeah.
And to have those giant animals that close to you was pretty powerful. Where can people go to get tickets, Melody, and what is that information to donate?
All the information is on my website, melodysweets.com. Melody like music, sweets like lots of candy. all the info for the show is there, and info on Sarmoti is there, and it's going to be a wild one.
What are the other themes you've had? I think we've run through them. You had the Wild West.
You had the Wild West.
Circus.
The Big
Holiday.
Top Burlesque and Big Top Circus and Burlesque, Christmas XXXmas. We had the Coney Island Burlesque at the Beach, and that
was the most recent one.
That was the most recent one, yes. And
now Jungle Burlesque.
Now Jungle, Call of the Wild, Jungle Burlesque. Next Saturday night at Absinthe Vegas Den at the Caesar's Palace.
let me ask Tavio and Naomi something. We've been observing the trends of entertainment in Las Vegas, and you know, and Melody's show's been here for 5 years.
Yeah.
What do you think the state of the union is here in terms of live entertainment? Are you encouraged, discouraged? You've been around, you've seen it all, you've toured, you've been here on a lot of stage shows. What is your collective opinion about what's happening in the city?
Right. Well, it's been a few years since we've actually performed here. This is going to be a return to us for the stage here in Las Vegas in for over 2 years, maybe even 3 years now, because all our work has been either in London and Dubai. We just got back from Macau not too long ago. So all of our work has been, oddly enough, even though we live in the entertainment capital of the world for variety entertainment, our work has been out of the city. So I think it would be nice to have a little bit more opportunity for variety acts and variety entertainment to have a venue and opportunity to do that. Sure, there are those places like what Wasaba has in her stages and those other late night venues. And this is a great opportunity to work with Melody too. But in terms of like mainstream, it's difficult sometimes when you have a corporation that controls so many showrooms to kind of break into that. Diversify would be really nice to see. But I still think that, you know, in terms of entertainment, there really is nothing like Las Vegas.
It helps. The brand of Las Vegas helps abroad, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It helps market you, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, and the interesting thing is when we were in Macau, there were only three permanent shows available to see.
Right.
And we were one of them.
There's the water show.
Yeah, there's the water show.
And
there was our show that we were in, and then there was another magic show.
Okay.
So, yeah, House of Magic, House of Dancing Waters, and then it was Viva La Broadway, which we were performing in.
Okay. Yeah. That's it.
And that was it. That was it. So they're looking to diversify. And I think there was just an article, and I forget where I read it, how Macau, you know, they've far surpassed us in gaming revenue.
Oh, yeah.
But not in entertainment. So they're still learning how to do all of that. So I think they're trying to like emulate us a little bit in that sense.
It's interesting because even with some of the challenges we've had here, especially with production shows lately, Las Vegas still has a high, high volume of entertainment when you compare it to other metropolitan areas, doesn't it?
Yes, most certainly. Yeah, I mean, everything from concerts to even dance concerts, every kind of form of entertainment, just about you will be able to see here in Las Vegas, and that's really encouraging, and that is great. I do love the city for that. It's been quite an amazing ride, and you know, the years that I've spent here performing from, back then. As a dancer, you could throw a rock at a casino and say, oh, I'm going to perform there. You know, I was like, or you've hit just about every casino up and down the strip. And there was a number of them. I did 25 productions in my career here in Las Vegas, just in Las Vegas alone, not aside from, from Broadway and the show that we met in the Netherlands doing Aida, a musical that we met in. So, but in Las Vegas alone, I mean, there was a lot of shows. And back then it was just, okay, I'm done with this show. Let's move on to the next. And there were so many auditions. So I don't know what that's like for the dancing community now, or for dancers in that sense. And even then with variety acts, every casino usually had a large production show that had at least three or four specialty acts. And then you would have the smaller shows in the same casino in a different venue, obviously. And they would house or they would feature at least two or three specialty acts. So you have a lot of specialty acts working in one casino. And that was, a numerous amount of casinos back then.
Cirque came in and took all that novelty away real quick.
Yeah, they did.
They wiped it out. Yeah.
And they've done some great work, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they're absolutely the top. That's why they wiped them out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're so good. Now, Melody, you've been here 5 years, and you're an affiliate. You're affiliated with Las Vegas that way, coming from New York. How's it been in your community, in your culture, to be a Las Vegas performer now, having come from kind of a burlesque, maybe even underground environment in New York? How's that worked for you?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I came here not knowing what to expect from Las Vegas, and quite honestly didn't think that we would last because of the raunchiness of the humor of the show. So, it's all been an exciting, surprising ride that we have been here as long as we have, and I'm treated really well. I love Las Vegas. I've come to really love it, and hope not to leave.
Yeah. Well, you've become a star here in the show's hit, and you're a hit in it. When you're looking for acts, I've always wondered about this. When you're looking for acts for your solo show, you know these guys,
yes,
personally, but there's some acts that come into this show. You're like, where did that come from? I mean, you've had acts in there in the past that just seem to come out of like another like galaxy.
Yes.
How do
that's
you find?
I love
how do
them.
You recruit? I mean, I look at any of them. How do you find, you know, the blue bunny person?
Well,
or
you know, how can you not find him? If you see him, you'll be oh, I get it.
We've had acts in there that I feel like you think we need this kind of act, and all of a sudden that kind of act shows up.
Well,
like, for real.
Somehow that does happen. And I think just being in the burlesque community and the variety world, in New York and traveling, I've done a lot of traveling, a lot of touring before I came to Las Vegas. And most of them, honestly, I reach out to my friends first because this is an opportunity for me to spend with people I love who inspire me and motivate me. And Mr. and Mrs. G are definitely, you know, some of those people. So for me, it's just, I love to have fun with these shows, and who can I have the most fun with? And who is going to have the most fun doing it? Because that's what the success of these shows has been. Mm-hmm. I believe that, you know, people don't know what to expect in these shows. We don't even really know what to expect in these shows, you know, because I'm doing it on my own, and we don't really get a chance to rehearse. You know, I'm flying people in the night before for the show, and you're seeing... You're seeing it
it's
for the first
said
time,
you're
like
seeing,
we are.
Like the first run through live.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, I hire, like I said, my friends, but also professionals who I know will deliver no matter what happens. You know, and I trust them to do that, and we all somehow come together and know this is fun. It's for a good cause, and let's do this. You know, and the energy in the tent is always so exciting and. And I love it.
Are you ahead? Yeah. Are you further ahead now in the development of the show than you normally are? Are you about where you normally are?
No, like hyperventilating.
I
right
hope
now.
It's the former.
We are as far as it can be. Right. We start rehearsals next week, so we're running band rehearsals next week, and that's always that's the most important to me. If the music is on, then I don't have anything really to worry about except arrows.
Let's knock on wood. No stray arrows.
Arrows in the round.
Arrows in the round. Yeah. Well, we've done it before, so we're okay. We've got a history with that, so we're accurate.
All right. Well, we gotta close this show. It's on July 30th at midnight.
Yeah.
Call of the Wild Jungle Burlesque. And I've always said this, I've said it and I've talked it, I've said this even to Ross Mollison and everybody. If you look at the Absinthe production as like a great sitcom, and you had spin-off characters that could be hit shows, Melody Suites would be one of those. And I've always felt that way.
And these shows are
an example of that. Get there if you can, because it's a real happening. And I will be there, I'll tell you that. And thanks for coming down, you guys.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
Viva!